The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
It is Pension Awareness Week, and we've enlisted the help of David Quinn, Managing Director of InvestWise Financial Planning, who joins us to guide us through all you need to know about pensions. And can we start off with a stupid question, David? Is the objective with a pension to have enough money set aside that you never eat into your capital and that when you pop your clogs, the family get it? Or is the idea that you eat into the capital and time it so you pop your clogs as you hit zero?
Yeah, that's a funny one, Anton, because as we build up our pension fund, everyone thinks build it up until we're 60, 65, whatever, and then we draw it down and leave nothing behind. But actually, in practice, when people get to retirement, they're loath to actually spend the capital and they want to hold on to it and give it to the kids. So why did they work for 40 years to build up this huge pot to not spend it? I read a great quote yesterday from someone saying, your money is only yours when you spend it. Otherwise, it's the revenues or your children's money. So I think that's a great attitude to have. It's useful.
But when you're planning, do you look at it and say, OK, I should plan for a gradual diminution of that nest egg and chipping into it, plus whatever I get in interest during the period? Or should you plan based on, I set that nest egg apart and I just live off the interest?
No, I would always try and plan for spending some of the capital, drawing it down, but in a prudent manner. You have to make sure there's a little bit left for long-term care at the end and, you know, shocks, financial shocks. But at the end of the day, if you can draw down enough to that it's going to survive, that the money will outlive you, not intact, but just that there'll be some money left at the end, that's good planning.
And what about then planning for the age at which you are first going to access it? Because depending on what pension you have, that can vary hugely.
That can vary hugely, and your lifestyle and what you do for a living has a big bearing on that. If you love what you do, you don't work a day, you know. So some people are very happy to work until they're 75, so it's not that retirement date isn't a key factor. But what I like to focus on is, when will someone be financially independent so that they can leave, they don't have to work? And that's some, for some that can be in their early 50s, and for some it can be never. They'll have to work till 70 and beyond. So it's about trying to decide what you want out of your lifestyle, out of, you know, where you live and looking after children, and then seeing how quickly you can get to that stage that money isn't a stress and that you don't have to work.
I assume the style of job you do matters hugely, because relatively sedate desk work you can do until you're in your mid-70s. If you're a roughneck out in an oil rig, you're unlikely to be doing it past 65, I would have thought.
Absolutely, yeah, that's a key point. And sometimes you can find a hybrid of the two, where you'll work very hard in a physical job up until your 50s, mid-50s, and then you might be able to do some sort of, you might retrain, or you might be able to do some consultancy work, which I have for some people who work, you know, offshore oil rigs and things like that. They end up doing consultancy advice work for the oil companies, maybe just a few months a year or that type of thing. So it's horses for courses.
Do you see many people actively constraining their day-to-day expenditure and disposable income so that they can squirrel more away?
Some. They're in the minority. I think particularly in Ireland at the moment, and maybe more so in Dublin, I see there is a, you know, somewhat materialistic kind of a culture, and people want to spend. They want to have a nice car. They want kids to go to nice schools, and they want a bigger house. And that almost always takes priority over saving for the long term, because, you know, we can see it. It's tangible. It feels important to us at the time. So the minority.
But there's also that element of, you know, the old line about God make me pious, but just not yet. In the same way, we all know, I must, any minute now I'm going to start contributing. But there is that immediate bill that has to be paid.
Yeah, it is difficult. And particularly for people who are paying high rents, like your last piece, or, you know, or have a big mortgage, it's very hard to delay the gratification and put money away for the long term, because it's so far away, we just out of sight, out of mind. But I suppose that's the job of a financial planner and Pension Awareness Week and all that, is to try and just get people to even just start thinking about a small amount, and then they see the benefit of it, and usually what happens then is it creates a good habit.
Is there a tendency in Ireland for people to think the house is the pension? So I have the family home, there's no tax on capital acquisition or capital gains across the period of ownership of it. When I get the kids out, and I'll downsize, and that'll be the nest egg.
That is very true, except in a lot of cases that people, they buy the house, they love the house, and they love where they live, and all their friends and neighbours are there, and A problem we have now is the downsizing. So you've paid a big mortgage for a nice house in an area that you love, and you want to downsize, and you're competing with first time buyers for those downsizer houses. So you may not release as much equity as you think to stay in the area you want to be in. That can become quite a stress that you end up overpaying, because there's a lot of demand for that downsize type of property. So it's not as easy as it sounds, but there's some truth to it for sure.
A lot of questions coming in. Should I draw down my pension to pay off a personal loan? I'm in my mid-50s. What penalties are involved?
It depends on their employment circumstance, but there shouldn't really be any penalties necessarily for retiring early, depending on whether they're a company director or not. There are some rules around early retirement before 60. From 60 on, people can really do what they want, but before that, there are certain rules. Shouldn't be any penalties, and it can be a good strategy, because you can take the lump sum out of your pension and not draw from the rest of it.
Can you take the lump sum that early? Do you not end up paying tax on it if you take it early?
No. So again, depending on the size of the fund, but if up to 200,000 of your lump sum is tax free, and you can take it from 50 in some circumstances, if you've left an employment and you have what's called a retirement bond from an old employment, you can take the lump sum from that from 50 and not draw from the rest until you have to draw from 61.
But if you have to continue within your current employment, you can't touch it tax free.
Yeah, it's tricky to do it then. Yes, because if you're running your own company, you have to sell your shares to get your pension early. You have to, you know, extract yourself from the business. So it's tricky to do if you're still in an employment.
And what about the penalty aspect of it? Is it just that you pay the tax as you withdraw a certain amount of it, or is there additional penalties beyond that for accessing it?
There shouldn't be, unless it was a recently set up contract where somebody took a huge commission on it or something and the insurance company wants their commission back. Other than that, there shouldn't be any penalty. You get the first 200,000 completely tax-free, and then the rest is drawn down as an income like any other
income. Is it a one-time deal, or can I go in and take 10 grand now and come back and take the 200 when I turn 60?
No, there are ways to do it in a gradual basis, but ignore that and just take it that it's a one-time deal per pension fund. So if you have pensions from different employments, you can do one at a time.
How can you say there are ways to do it but ignore that? It's like, don't look at the man behind the curtain.
You can split pensions into multiple PRSAs, they're called personal retirement savings accounts, and then draw them down gradually. But some of those kind of ridiculous technicalities are being shut down now, and they're trying to simplify the system.
They have a way to go.
Yes, very much so.
Question from Eileen that I think I can probably answer, which is, I have two young sons. At what age should I advise them to begin a pension? I believe the answer to that is always, it's already too late.
Like Einstein said, compounding is the eighth wonder of the world. So the earlier you start, by the time you're 40, the growth on your tiny contribution in your early 20s would be significant. So even if it's a tiny amount, I encourage people to start early or get their employer to make a contribution.
But should it be the kind of thing that we do as 21st birthday presents? Congratulations, there's a little starter pension for you.
Yes, absolutely.
Should I nominate a beneficiary for my pension? How do I go about this? Does that mean for if you die?
I guess so. With company pensions, there is what's called a letter of wishes, where you can nominate someone to be your beneficiary. Usually, a pension will go to your spouse, and if you don't have a spouse, it'll go to your children. So it just gets passed on in your estate, and there's different tax treatments depending on who gets it.
And if it goes to a spouse, does it remain intact? It is the same pension, it just goes to the spouse rather than to the original beneficiary. Is that it?
Well, again, it depends. Every time I talk to you, Anton, I say it depends. But it can be paid out as a lump sum in what's called death in service payments, up to 4 times salary. It can be paid out immediately as a lump sum, and that's it, done, tax-free. If you've already retired, it becomes your spouse's pension in payment. If it goes to children, again, it can be a lump sum payment depending on their age.
How often do you see the pensions end up with the kids and not with the person who actually developed it?
The approved retirement fund structure, which is what happens when you retire, that's the fund you draw from. Of the ones we manage, and some of them have been going since April 2000, and are still fully intact.
Still fully intact, as in the
capital hasn't been touched. Wow. So we've had an extraordinary 20 years of growth since that system was set up. So a lot of them are still fully intact, so they will go to the kids. And that's the revenue are putting a bit of pressure on now to force people to take their pension. because they aren't taking enough out of it and they're not spending it. As we said at the very start of the piece, that they're only just taking the growth.
But I assume everybody must have that thing where they look and they say, well, I don't care if I'm 132. I'm not planning on dying anytime soon. Like there's a certain morbid decision that has to be made, I would have thought, when you start paying down the capital. It's an admission of...
Yeah, but come on, let's face it.
Let's not.
But also, your capacity to spend money in your late 80s is less than in your 60s. You'll be traveling, hopefully, and doing, you know, interesting things. By the time you get to your 80s, your energy is lower, whether you like it or not, and it's harder to spend.
Should I draw down my pension to pay off a mortgage tracker, although rental income is well covering the monthly payments to the bank, and use the rent to make a new pension?
Well, you can't actually use just rent on its own to pay for a pension. It has to be from earned income. And if it's on a tracker rate, I would not be drawing down a pension to pay off a tracker rate because they are worth their weight in gold.
Another one asking, and no mention as usual, that government can change the rules any time and raid the pension pots as has been done before. This, of course, was Michael Noonan reaching into our back pockets during the financial crisis.
Yes, it was 4 years of a pension levy where they took between 0.75 and 1% a year.
And do you believe there is a possibility that such a thing could reoccur?
I think it's more likely that they'll reduce the tax relief or reduce the maximum fund, which is currently 2 million, bring that down, or bring the income that's allowed out of a pension down. I don't think they'll put a levy on again, but who knows, they could.
Do you see many people making that maximum amount? I mean, to accrue 2 million quid clear by the time you retire, it's a fair chunk of change.
It's a lot of money, and it's rare enough. It's typically company directors who have much more scope for big contributions that can do it. And like civil service pensions can reach 2 million quite easily.
Another saying, I've worked in the private sector for years and I have a small pension built up that I still contribute to. However, I started a civil service job 18 months ago and my accountant said I can't keep contributing to my private pension, or if I do, I don't get the tax relief as I'm part of the single pension scheme with the civil servant job. Can I stop my private pension and put the premiums I'm paying into the private pension now into my civil service pension?
Yes.
Brilliant. Never has a question of such length been answered.
There's a big
so
answer to that one, but yes, they can.
Do you want to expand on that any or leave it at yes?
You can't have a personal pension and a company pension running at the same time, or an employer sponsored pension. But you can have your own personal AVC scheme, which is what they're asking really, which is the equivalent of what they already have. But so it can be done.
And is it a desperately complicated thing?
No, not at all.
Another, I'm a public servant and I pay Class A PRSI. I worked part-time from 1992 to 1995. Am I also entitled to some state pension?
Yes, everyone who has some PRSI stamps can qualify for the state pension at the end, depending on how they change the rules as we get closer to that extended retirement age and qualification.
Do you see people over-relying or having an overblown expectation of what the state pension will actually give them?
I do. You know, it's 250 quid a week at most. Between 12 and 13 grand a year, depending on how many PRSI stamps you have, really. And that's, can you live on that?
At what age can you access your AVC if you pay a lump sum into your AVC? Can you get the tax back immediately? Before you answer that question, David, can you explain it to me?
Okay. So if you're in a company or in the public sector and you want to make additional voluntary contributions yourself over and above what you're expected to make, that's an AVC. You can only access that part of the fund when you access the main scheme. So when you retire, you can get your AVC fund and your main pension at the same time.
David, as always, it has been a lesson. I'm going to have to go and take a small lie down to recover after it. That is David Quinn, Managing Director of InvestWise Financial Planning.